Welcome to our one-off series. Next week, we're starting a brand new series. It's going to last a few weeks, but today we're starting with just a one-off series called We Are With You. And so I'm excited about it because I tend to be excited this time of year. Anybody else love the fresh start of January 1st, new calendar, the ability to take a next step? Well, I have a phrase from Scripture for you, a verse that maybe is meant for you to take with you. It is from the book of Luke. And you know, as preachers begin to communicate and get ready for a sermon, we often look in different translations. So today, I'm going to share with you Luke from the contemporary English version because I love how it says it. It says, "This is the year the Lord has chosen." And for some of you, you have not believed in a long time that God has a chosen path for you to be on. But I promise you, every person in this space and every person who watches online, God made you on purpose for a purpose. And this is the year that the Lord has chosen. So I'm excited to start a new year. How many of you do that traditional thing of January 1st, you make a couple of New Year's resolutions? Now, I know we're already in day six, so some of us don't want to raise our hands because we're like, oh, I already didn't do the thing I said I was going to do. Anybody get that way? You know, one of the things I love to do in the New Year's, I love to just sort of, and I think it's because of Christmas. I think it's like when the new things come in, I have this urge to purge and get rid of the old things. And it didn't help that this year Netflix had that amazing show, right? Bird Box? No, I'm just kidding. Anybody watch it though? It was so scary. No, it was the life-changing magic of Marie Kondo. And so on January 1st, it released and I spent most of my day like watching Marie Kondo and then I'd leave for a couple hours and just get rid of everything that I could see. Okay, no joy, no joy, no joy. It's all going out. And then I do it again and again. And I felt like I was starting this new year with joy because this is the year the Lord has chosen. And so I want you to walk through this year and I want you to know that it is great to make New Year's goals. It's always great to have a goal. And we go through and we think through different goals, don't we? Financial goals are sometimes obvious in January, or physical goals. You know, you ate a lot during Christmas at all those great parties and now the clothes aren't fitting, so it's time to make some physical goals. But when was the last time you thought about a spiritual goal? And so that's what today is for. It is for us to decide that one of our spiritual goals this year is to decide that in 2019, we are going to take another step into community. This week that we call Group Life, we are with you. We want you to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter who you are or what you've done or what's been done to you, we are with you. That is why we are a church. And if I could describe a church in only four words, those would be the words I would want them to be. We are with you because we are not meant to do life alone. And you know, Harbor, how many of you were able to be with us on Christmas Eve? You started to realize how big we've gotten. We had over 750 people meeting with the Fusion Church in Lowell, worshiping together. There were a lot of us. It is hard to be known when you are in a community that's big. And so that's why we encourage you to always be part of a smaller group where you know other people and you are known by other people. Other people need you and you're needed by other people. And so one way to say that, if you take notes, is our withness is our witness. Our ability to be with one another is the way that we show Jesus to the world around us. Our ability to be with one another is how we help people find their way back to God. And so our ability to be with one another starts with an understanding. And that is, no matter what, you are never alone. That's why we celebrated these last 2 weeks looking in the book of Luke, because Emmanuel, God, is with us. And so if you were here on Christmas Eve, you saw and heard Jake speak of Simeon and how the prophecy was fulfilled. God was here. Christ was born. He was with us. And then last week, Jeff shared that even though the shepherds were able to see an amazing truth, the angels worshiping, they weren't able to stay there. They had to take what they learned there and bring it here. I think that's what group life does. It allows you to hear on a Sunday, whether online or in person, what God is speaking, and then you take it to a smaller group, and you share what you're hearing, and guess what? It's amazing. The person next to you is hearing something completely different. And without their heart and soul, you would miss that part. And so today, we want you to know you're not meant to do life alone. You're meant to do life together. Group life is so important that we're going to dedicate a whole day to it. So what does group life at Harbor even look like? Maybe this is your first time here or you've never been here. I want to share what group life at Harbor looks like because I'm sure each church has its own version of how they do life together. And so at Harbor, we have three things. We have care, and we have journey groups, and then this spring, we're adding something new, a three-week financial peace boot camp followed by Financial Peace University. So I know for everyone here, there's a next step. And so why would I call you to group life? I know that you'll be better. I know you'll be better together, whether it's a group of women or men or young adults or mixed ages. I know you'll be better together. But I know one of the reasons that you're worried about doing it if you've ever done group life before, and that is people are hard, right? Has anyone ever been in a group and one of the people in the group was a little hard? And you might have even noticed it with your own people, right? Like anyone have Thanksgiving or Christmas and one of your own people was a little bit hard? People are hard. You know what I realized over Christmas, though? People aren't the only hard things on earth. Dogs can be a little hard. Did anyone have a dog visit over the holidays? My niece brought her dog for 3 days, and my dog is about 15. And so what she does most of the day is sit near my feet and like go out a couple times a day. She is chill. And I had no idea until my niece brought her 3-year-old like pit bull something else mix. And that dog was just complete muscle, complete energy. So Christmas morning, we're doing the gifts. I don't think I got to put it up there. Christmas morning, we're doing the gifts. And my niece's dog is like in the middle of everything. If there is a present, she wants to be on it, bouncing. When it snowed one night and we took her out, I mean, she was running around like crazy. She was hard. But you know what we noticed when she left? How much fun she was, how much joy she brought. Like she brought life even to my dog. My dog moved and played and had more fun just because she was here. It was hard. She got headbutted a couple times by the dog, like, come play with me. But it was so much better together. And that's what group life is. It is so much better together. Because in group life, we have the opportunity to be Jesus. So what does that mean? We're going to look in Luke chapter 4 today. And what we see there is in Luke chapter 2, we see the birth of Jesus. And the scripture says that he didn't stay a baby, of course, right? He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And then he was taken out into the wilderness and he was tempted for 40 days. And when he returned, scripture says, when he returned to Galilee, the power of the Holy Spirit was in him and news spread throughout the countryside. And he began to teach in the synagogues. And that's the local church, just like we're doing here. And as he was going and teaching, everyone praised him. And then scripture says in Luke 4, he went to Nazareth. And Nazareth was his hometown. It's like when you grow up and you go to college and you return home. And you've become a new person, but your mom doesn't know. I know this. I hear this from my girls all the time, right? Like they come home and I'm like, yes, children to cook for and do laundry for and totally smother. Like, where are you going? And what time will you be back? And can I track you on the iPhone? No. When you come back to your hometown, you're known in a different way. And so even Jesus, when he returned to Nazareth, he was brought to the synagogue as it was custom. Just like so many of your parents, you get up every single Sunday, and it is not easy. But you get your kids dressed and you walk them through so that Sunday after Sunday, they're cared for and they're taught about Jesus. That's what Jesus was doing. He was brought to the synagogue. And when he went in, he was handed the scroll of Isaiah. So he didn't have a Bible like you and I have. They had long scrolls. And the scripture of that day was from the book of Isaiah. And we're going to look at that because this is Jesus proclaiming why he came. Why we celebrate in the first place that he was born. And that same power, that Holy Spirit in him that later rose him from the dead is in you and is in me. And so this is our call today. What are we to do as the hands and feet of Jesus? Let's look at verse 18. Jesus has unrolled the scroll and he says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim good news and to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's where that verse comes. This is the year the Lord has chosen. You and I get to proclaim that over each other. This year, God is going to move us forward as we begin to help people who are held captive by sin and by shame and by guilt and say, God came to set you free from all of that. And Harper, we believe that happens best in groups. We weren't meant to do life alone. Because when we're in a group, when we see and hear a truth, we have the chance to speak it. See, all of you have been given the same gift as Jake and Jeff and I. Do you remember when Jake stood here and he said, I can't help but explain this to you? You were all given that gift. So even though you might not be standing here, you need to be in a group so you can't help but share what God is doing. And so as I said, we have three types of groups. We have care groups and a financial boot camp and journey groups. And so I want to just talk quickly about the three of them. A journey group is what it sounds like. It's a group where you journey together. It's not a Bible study. Now, they might be broken up by women or men, and some groups might lean more into prayer. And some groups might lean more into scripture. But the point of us coming together is to be needed and known. And so some of you, your brave next step is to go off of this site and open up your beautiful home to 3 or 5 or 10 people and invite them in so that they can hear about the love of God. My favorite is when I hear it's people who don't even come to Harbor. It's a neighbor who would come to your home but not into the basement of a mill. And so Amy said the best way to do this is to take out your phone, download our app, and let her know what days work for you. And if you're not ready yet to walk into someone's home, we have groups that meet here. We have group for men and for women and groups that really invest in prayer. We have a group that's going to be meeting during this hour one room over. But everybody who calls Harbor home should be in a group. Now, some of you, the next best step is not to join a group this season. It's to realize that your finances are not in a healthy place. And Harbor, we're with you. You're not alone. There are incredibly gifted people who want to walk alongside you, not just for 3 weeks, but month after month, helping you align your heart's desires to be people who give freely with the reality of a checkbook. And so again, with the app or just by going over to the welcome table, we want to get you in there. It's at 9:30, one room over. And I promise you, Steve Athanas is able to take the gospel and finances and put it together in such an amazing way. You'll be so thankful that those 3 weeks were invested in 2019. It's the year that the Lord has chosen. And then finally, this is an exciting secret that you didn't know. I don't want to talk about care groups when there's someone incredible to do so. So my friend, the Reverend Dr. Cricket LaMica, she's going to stick her tongue out that I told you that, is going to come and talk to you about what it means to be part of group life at Harbor. And Cricket, to me, is one of those people that I look to. Because I know right now online and in seats are women who don't even know that God could call you as a woman to be someone who proclaims truth. See, that's what she is for me. And that's what she is for many of us. So she's going to share some scripture with us.
So I'm going to build on what Kelly talked about from Luke 5. And I want to take it, because Jake taught about this earlier this year, and I want to take that, and just like with the Turning the Gem series, I want to turn that a little bit and look at it from different points of view. We have several groups that are involved here, and I want to look at them with you. And I want to check the background first, because Luke is an interesting character. He's my kind of guy. He's a detail-oriented. He's kind of nitpicky, and I have a little bit of a perfectionist tendency, just a little bit. And he actually wrote Acts, as well as the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, in order to write a reliable and orderly account of the things that were happening that Jesus had taught and that were happening in the early church. And he does it with finesse. He does it with style. And just prior to the passage I'm going to talk about, he healed a leper. And this is Jesus touching the untouchable, the outcast, the one that everyone thought you could catch leprosy from. He healed him and then told the man, take the offering that Moses commanded and go show yourself to the priest. That meant they're in northern Israel at this point. He has to make the journey down to Jerusalem, to the temple, in order to offer his gift before God. And he did that. Jesus then went off to pray and recharge. And that's where we join him, is after he's recharged in Luke 5, 17 to 20 and 24 to 26. One day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him for healing. And some men brought with him on a stretcher a man who is paralyzed. They're trying to bring him in and set him in his presence. but not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowds. They had to go up on the roof and lower him down through the tiles in the middle, in front of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." And we'll skip ahead to verse 24, after the man is healed. And I'm going to call the paralyzed guy Bob, just because I hate not having names for some people. So I'm going to call him Bob. So Jesus says, "I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." The man stood up immediately before them all. He picked up what he'd been carried on, lying on, went home glorifying God. And astonishment seized them all. They glorified God and struck with awe. They said, "We have seen incredible things today." I think we'd all agree with that. Seeing a man who is paralyzed get healed? Wow. So I want to look at the Pharisees first, because they're an interesting group. They were laymen who had sort of come up through the ranks and become very elite and very important people in the whole country. They became political leaders. They became the ones who did a lot of teaching in the synagogues, and they had the scribes with them who would write their commentaries for them as they expounded upon what the laws said and what they thought they meant, and made more laws and more laws and more laws. They're a little annoying, as you find out as you read through scripture. You find they're a little over the top. But they came 78 miles. That's a good 2 days' walk. So they had to walk there. They would have to walk back. And then the time that they spent there. So minimum 5 days that they are giving to find out about this guy that, yeah, he healed a leper. Really? Do you believe that? I don't know. Maybe we should go find him. So they're checking him out. What is he teaching? Is it true? Or is he some nut job? They want to find out. See it firsthand. That's what they're doing there, is finding out what's up. Who is he? And that's that first group. And they're sitting there because when you're important in those days, you sat when the teaching was happening. The rest of us commoners have to stand because that's who they are. So if you saw someone standing, they weren't in the upper elite, fancy people. They were just regular, normal Joes. That's okay. But they're not going to budge. These four guys show up with Bob on the stretcher, and there's a crowd. They can probably see Jesus in their teaching and hear him, but they can't get through. These guys aren't moving. They have their seats, and they are not budging. Now, I have to confess, I sometimes am that same way. When I'm coming through chicken corners to church, and I've been through five cycles of that light trying to get ready to turn left, and somebody comes zipping up in that right-hand thing, and they want to cut in, like, no way, wait your turn, forget it. Uh-uh, I was here first. So I can relate on bad days. You know, I can relate to these guys. Should have gotten here sooner, dudes. Uh-uh, we're not moving. So you got these four ragamuffins, these commoners, that have spent time on the road, hot and dusty, their muscles are aching from carrying this man. The things we know about them, they are hot, they are dusty, they are tired. We don't know if they were his synagogue buddies, if they were friends or family, it doesn't say. But they'd heard of Jesus. They had heard and maybe even seen his healing. They couldn't fix Bob, but they knew who could. They gave legs to their faith. They didn't just say, "Yeah, Bob, we'll pray for you, guy. Yeah, uh-huh." They took action. They did something about it. We know it wasn't a Sabbath, or they wouldn't have been carrying him. But the big thing they had was their faith that Jesus could heal. Bob is our other person. He's helpless. He's dependent. That's a hard place to be. Any of us can relate to that when we can't do things for ourselves, when we're in a tough spot and we need someone else to help. It changes us inside when we say, yes, please do that for me. I would appreciate it. It's hard. And you've got a man here who couldn't cook, he couldn't clean, he couldn't take care of himself, he couldn't work. He was totally dependent. If he wanted to do anything, he needed people around him to help him, to guide him, to do even the basic, most menial things. And that's hard. So they're here. Those four men have brought him to try and set him before Jesus. And can you picture them? They've gotten there, they've arrived, and then they hit a roadblock. They can't get in. They have to make choices. They have to make decisions. What do we do now? And that's true of us. When we get before Jesus, we want to connect with him. There may be people, situations, circumstances that are between us and connecting with him and being before him and saying, help me, Lord. I need help. These four guys were determined. They want their friend, their buddy, their family member, whatever he was, they wanted him before Jesus. And if you see, you have to set Bob down. Now what are we going to do? You said we could get him in here and get healed. Well, I thought we could. I mean, that's what he does. Well, now we got to take another day off of work and come back tomorrow. Yeah, that's if we can get in. We got to come earlier, guys. Otherwise, we're stuck. Well, what if he does what he did last week? Remember, last week, he was teaching, he was healing, and then the next day, a bunch of people showed up, all wanting to be healed and hear him, and he wasn't there. He was gone. Nobody knew where he was. What if that happens? All right, then we've got to do it today. We've got to do it now. We'll find a way. You got any brilliant ideas? I don't have any. And then one of them sees the ladder that goes up to the roof. In those days, there were two kinds of roofs. There were those that were pitched and had tiles on them. And they would have had to have, if it, the same word in Greek is for tiles as well as the clay roofs, the flat clay roofs. Either way, there were layers, and they would have to break through the tough, hard layers, peeling them apart, ripping them up with their hands, getting bloodied and bruised. But that's the only way they could find to get Bob before Jesus. So they start doing that. Now, if you're in the audience down below, you're sitting there in your front row seat, Jesus right before you, and you start hearing these weird noises. You're not the only one. You can see that guy's looking up too. You're not the only one that notices that. Wonder what it is. Debris starts falling down. A hole gets bigger. They're ripping a hole in somebody else's house. Oh my. They're determined and they're desperate. And they're taking action. And they keep on going. Their grimy faces are looking down. They make the hole bigger, and the guys down below are trying to get the dust and the debris away from them. But finally, very carefully, not tipping it one way or the other and having poor Bob roll out onto the floor, they lower him down and set the one who needs to be healed before the healer. And that's our model here at Harbor. Whether we are in a journey group, one of the care teams, that's what we do. We can't fix you. We may be part of the process. We may be taking time off to help. It may cost us. But we're family. We're the body of Christ. We need to be there for each other, to help one another, Sometimes we'll carry. Sometimes we'll be carried. But if you're not in a group, you'll miss a chance at both. And that's an important thing to do, is to be that for one another, to be there, to help each other get before Christ, helping each other find our way back to Christ if we've lost him. And it's a process. It may be difficult. It may be hard and stretching. And then your journey group may not be able to do all of it for you. That's when the care team gets connected and we take action. We have a number of different types of groups and different people within each. And then once a month, we get together. We have people who pray. If you fill out those connection cards, and thank you to all who filled them out last week, you put them into that box or the one in the back, and there'll be someone praying for you all during the week. There will be people after the prayer, the service in the back if you want prayer, face-to-face, one-on-one, God with skin on. We have a meal train that if you're sick, been hospitalized, have a baby, any number of things, they'll provide meals for a little while for you to help you get back up on your feet. We have people who give rides to those who need a ride to church because they don't drive. We have others who write cards and encourage you and let you know we're still praying for you. We're still thinking of you. You're on our hearts. We love you. We're here for you. And we have some like our Stephen ministers who have spent 50 hours getting trained to help you, to listen, to learn how to ask questions so they can help you get close to Jesus when you're in a really dark place and don't feel like you can see him or hear him or feel him. And if you're wired for care, come talk to me. We can help you get connected and get some training, get equipping in what God has for you to do. Not everybody is wired for care, and that's all right. If you have a habit, a hurt, or a hang-up, our life recovery is starting again in March. There's going to be a meeting next Sunday after service. If you're interested in helping lead that, contact me or Jeff Coburn or Trish Mai or Stephen Kincaid. We'd love to have you be a part. See if it's a fit for you. Not everything will be. Not everybody's gifted in care. And that's okay. We're all made differently. And that's why it works. If we were all the same, it'd be kind of boring. We're all different. We all have ways that we can connect and help and reach out to one another and help one another. And last year, when I was sick, I had the flu. The worst I've ever had it, for 3 long, awful weeks. I couldn't do anything. I was stuck in an armchair. 3 weeks. That was followed by the stomach bug for a week. That was followed by the most lovely of colds. But I had people in my teams who called, who texted, who emailed and said, can we help? What can we do? Because I needed to be carried. I couldn't get out and do anything. And it's hard to be that dependent and say, yes, please, here's my list. Leave it on the porch because you don't want to get any of these things. And I'll leave money out there for you. Thank you so much. But something changes inside you when you're the one that has to be carried. And sometimes it's a good breaking of our pride or our I can do it myselfness, which a lot of us have. Yes, guilty as charged. Sometimes we will need to be carried. Sometimes we'll carry. But if we're not in a group, we can miss out on the chance to do both.
And Cricket, we're so thankful for the way that you invest in all of our people. We love you. She can't wait to get off the stage. Some of you today, you're scared to take that next step, just like Cricket was scared. But if she didn't show up week after week, there'd be people who are alone or in need of help, and there'd be nobody to stand with them. And so I don't know what your next step is, but I know you have a next step. Sometimes we're the one carrying people, and sometimes we're the one who carries a friend. But no matter who we are on that day, it cannot happen unless we're in a group. So would you pray with me right now that our church will continue to be a light to people far from God? Lord, we thank you so much for people who are willing to do hard, scary things. Lord, it's not that there isn't fear sometimes, but when fear comes, we know that we can say, you do not give us a spirit of fear. Lord, you give us power and love and a sound mind, and that is the church we want to be known as, a church filled with people who love you and love others. And so, Lord, right now, somebody needs to take a bold step and be someone who cares for a neighbor that's hard to care for. Someone needs to take a bold step and apprentice and decide that they're going to take the next season of group life and lead it in their own home. Lord, others need to take a bold step and allow people to care for them so they can become strong. But Lord, we thank you that this year of the Lord's favor, it is our year to become all you've created us to be through the power and the might of Jesus Christ. And so we ask right now, Lord God, for your confidence and your strength to be bold. And we thank you that you will do that. In Jesus' name, amen.